Good morning. One day, Jesus climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. While he was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became blinding white. At once, two men were there talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. And what a glorious appearance they made. They talked over his exodus, the one that Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. When they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and the two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking. While he was babbling on like this, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. As they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of the cloud. "This is my son, the chosen. Listen to him." When the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus there alone. They were speechless, and they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. It's called the Transfiguration, when Jesus' appearance was transformed, but it was much more than a physical change. It was deeply spiritual, transformative even for Peter, James, and John. It is the event that required them to look at Jesus with new eyes and begin to develop a new understanding. Today, we invite you to climb the mountain with Jesus and allow him to reveal himself to you in our worship. Let's stand together and sing.
Oh. Strengthened by this glimpse of glory, fearful lest our faith decline, we like Peter find it tempting to remain and build a shrine. But true worship gives us courage to proclaim what we profess, that our daily lives may prove us people of the God we bless.
The Lord is with you. Let us pray. Holy God, on a mountain you revealed the true nature of Jesus. By his transfiguration, illumine us today, so that we may have the courage to serve him in the service of all humanity and share in the promises of your kingdom. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Before you're seated, would you turn and greet those around you with signs of peace? It's always good to hear you sharing with one another and getting to know one another a little bit, and I'm hoping you're introducing yourself to those around you, and if there's somebody that you don't know, that you're saying hello to them. That's our goal, is to get to know everybody, make sure that everybody's welcome in this place, and so we're grateful for your presence today. In your bulletin, there's several announcements. I'll let you take a look at most of those. One of them I just want to highlight is this tab. Please make sure that you tear it out, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate. We want to know that you were here today. We want to get to know you too, so please fill that out. And let us know that you're here. Give us that pertinent information so that we can contact you. We promise not to wear you out with material and emails and all that stuff, but we will send you enough information to let you know who we are. So thanks for doing that for us. We're grateful this morning for our team that made it safely back from Guatemala. Pastor Todd and the Kineps and Joe Williams all made it back. They're going to be sharing with us a report very soon about what they discovered in Guatemala. So welcome back. And I'm glad you made it safely. We're anxious for the stories that you have to tell us. Several things going on in the life of the church this week, and the biggest thing is Wednesday. It is the beginning of Lent. Believe it or not, it seems like we just got done with Christmas, and now we're already at Lent. Lent begins Wednesday. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and what we'll do that day is we have four different opportunities for you to receive ashes. Starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, between 6 and 7 is a come-and-go time. So if you'd like to come before you go to work and receive the ashes, there'll be a time of meditation, lead you through just a moment of personal prayer, and then you can receive the ashes and then be on your way. We'll also do that here. That's here in the sanctuary. We'll also do the same thing between 9 and 10 o'clock, and also between noon and 1 Wednesday afternoon. And then our Wednesday service, Ash Wednesday service, is at 7 p.m. So we hope you'll join us for at least one of those times, maybe a couple of them during the day. These are opportunities for you to begin your time of a holy Lent, and it's a really exciting time, so we invite you to do that. In addition to that, we also are having a study that we're doing together called Who is This Man? Books are available if you'd like to read the whole book. We do have the book available. It's at the Welcome Center this morning. You can stop and pick one of those up. If you'd like a study guide, your Sunday school classes, you're going to be leading in that or following along in that, the study guides will be available in your Sunday school class this morning. So we're grateful for that that study together. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of the other studies we're going to be doing during the same time during this season. Let me just say it's great to be with you this morning. It's time for us now to turn our attention to worship. God is present with us, so let's continue to focus upon this God who's always present with us. And so I want to invite the children, if there's any here. I see a couple of young guys. Why don't you come down and join me this morning? Looks like it's just you and me, pal. Why don't you sit up here with me? I'll sit up here with you. How's that? Well, one of the things that we wanted to do today, up on the screen, there's going to be a bunch of pictures being shown. These are pictures from things like you're doing. You're a Cub Scout, right? Yeah. Well, we have a lot of Scouts that have been part of our church scouting program. I don't know if you're aware of this, friends, but we have a huge scouting program here at the church, and today is Scouting Sunday. And so the pictures that are running behind me are just that. They're pictures of some of our scouting events that happen throughout the year, and we just wanted you to see some of the things going on in the life of the church and that are sponsoring a bunch of different scouting, scout troops, scout packs, and events. It's really exciting. Now, how long have you been a scout? Since your brother started? Okay. Now, what is important about scouting to you? You don't know? What are some of the cool things that scouts do? Campouts. Okay. What else? Okay. Pinewood Derby. All kinds of fun stuff, don't you? You meet about every week, come here to the church and do all kinds of activities and, yeah. Well, there's I want to know this morning, maybe there's a few scouts here in the congregation. I want to know, from those of you who are here, how many of you are Eagle Scouts? Do we have any Eagle Scouts here in the congregation? There's one way back in the back. How about that? How about any other scouts? How many just, not Eagle Scouts, but just have been scouts in your lifetime? If you're a scout, just stand up. How about that? Can you believe that? That's right. Thank you. You can be seated. Did you have any idea that there were that many scouts in our congregation? You did? Well, guess what? I didn't know there were that many scouts in our congregation. That's pretty cool. Well, scouting is really important, and it's something that has been a key focus of our United Methodist men nationwide for many more than almost 60 years. The United Methodist men have supported scouting ministries in the United Methodist churches throughout the United States. It's become a really important thing. So almost every United Methodist church, or at least most United Methodist churches in big cities, are sponsoring scout troops. And it's really important ministry for us because we believe in the ministry of the scouts because they do lots of really important things, not just to help you grow and learn and to mature, but also the things that you do for the community. It's really important, the things the scouts do. And we want to say, we're grateful for you being a scout, and we're grateful for all of you who have been scouts in the past. We know that your experience has made you mature into the person that you are, and that's why we're continuing to support all the scouting troops that we do here at Newburgh United Methodist. So thank you for your service, and let's pray for all those who are scouts today. Can you help me do that? God, we thank you for our scouts, the boys and the girls and young men and young women who are giving themselves to you, to learn about you, but also, God, that they're learning about being good citizens, good moral people to live in this community, and to be leaders. We know, God, you have done amazing things with these young people. So, God, may you continue to strengthen them, give them maturity that they need, help them to learn all of the skills that they need, not just in gaining badges and merits, but to learn the things that they need for their life together. For we thank you, God, for what you're doing in them, in the ministry of scouts, and especially for all those that are leading them as well. For we give you thanks for them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Thank you.
Listen to the word of God from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. The apostles were brought before the council, where the high priest confronted them. In no uncertain terms, we demanded that you not teach in this name. And look at you, you have fulfilled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to hold us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than the humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted Jesus to his right side as leader and savior so that he could enable Israel to change its heart and life and to find forgiveness for sins. We are witnesses of such things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Please be seated.
This is the last of the series that we've been doing on these big questions. Today we're going to be looking at a little different question called, "Why Do I Need a Savior?" So we're going to be looking at several passages together. If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at a couple of things together, not just in the book of Acts, but also in the book of Romans. And there's some really important stuff that we're going to talk about there this morning. Before we do that, though, just have a couple of other quick things. In your bulletin this morning, you'll notice that there's in your sermon notes, there is a place underneath there that just has a couple of questions to consider this morning. And underneath that are the devotional Bible readings. One of the things that we've done over this last year, we've been asking you to read the Gospels. We were just finished up with the Gospel readings again this week, and we're beginning again this week, except instead of beginning last Thursday, we're going to begin this Wednesday with the Gospels again, and we're going to read for 40 days. Every day except Sunday, we're going to be reading a little bit of the Gospels. So we'll finish them during Lent, and so the reading plan is in your bulletin. It will be during the whole week. If you would like the reading plan, you can also download it. There's a PDF available on our website. So you can follow along in the Gospels, too. The stories that we're hearing about over these next several weeks are from the Gospels, a lot of them. We're talking about Jesus, trying to discover who this man really is. And so the Gospels will help inform us as we read along together during this time of Lent. So we invite you to follow along the reading plan. I think it'll be really helpful for you as we move along together. Also, you'll notice that not only in our worship this morning, but in some events happening over these next several months, and maybe almost a year, Mark Newton is a member of our congregation. He's going to be, we'll see him with his camera. You see him a lot around with his camera anyway, but he's working on a photo journal over this next year of the life of Newburgh United Methodist. And so if you see him taking pictures, don't be nervous. It's nothing he's going to publish on the internet or anything like that. He's just taking pictures to do a really neat project. So we'll watch for him and watch for that. That's coming up next year sometime, or this later on this year sometime. Really excited about this series that we're beginning next week, It's really going to be a great time for study together in the life of the church during this Lenten season. We've got some really exciting things planned during the Holy Week and other times, so be prepared to see some of those things. Study along with us, pray along with us, and keep a holy Lent. So let's begin again this Wednesday to do that. Right now, let's focus on this series, though, and let's finish it up today, and let's start with a word of prayer. God, we thank you for the gift of your presence. We thank you for the gift of your grace, for the gift of your Son. So God, bring us together this morning that our meditations may honor you. May you use each of us gathered in this room together so that you can speak. Use those who listen in with us on the internet, and use me especially, so that what we hear this day is nothing less than the very word you speak, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the Christian year, the very last Sunday before Lent begins is called Transfiguration Sunday. It's the day that we remember Jesus going up the mountain with a few of his disciples, and there he meets with Moses and Elijah. It's called the Transfiguration, not just because of Jesus, it said, was transfigured before them. It was his clothes became different. His face became different. They saw Jesus in a very different light. There was something really important for them to see. It was something that Jesus wanted them to see. He needed them to see about who he was. It was a key point, not only for Jesus and for his disciples, but it's a key point for us too. Before Jesus went up that mountain that day, he was nothing more than a leader of the Jewish people. But when they came down the mountain that day, he was something very different. He was more than just an anointed of God, another human like so many others before them. He was more than just a healer now, more than just a miracle worker. He was a savior. He was something greater than they could ever imagine. He was, well, God. Something changed on that mountain that day. And we asked early at the beginning, or at the beginning of the service today, for you to consider walking up the mountain yourself, to hear that call of Jesus, to come up the mountain, to experience him differently. The reason I think that's important is because there's times when we may not see Jesus for who he really is. I know there's times in my life that I have kind of taken Jesus for granted. I've listened to his story, I've read it, I've heard about it when I was little, I've read it even as an adult, and then as a pastor, I've learned so many things about Jesus and his life and what it means, and yet there are days, still days in my life, where I take his life for granted. I don't really pay all that attention to what Jesus is doing or what he's saying or what he said or what he's calling me to say or to do. There are times I pay little attention to this Jesus because, well, life gets in the way. We just kind of move through life. We walk through every day and thinking, well, I can make it through another day. As long as I make it through another day, then things are going to be okay, right? And we often take Jesus for granted. We often look at Jesus as somebody who was, and we even believe that he's someone who is and yet is to come, as the scriptures tell us and our confession tells us. But there are times when we just pay him little mind. He's just another figure from the story because we can't see him. But I want to challenge that this morning, to remind us of some key things that the scriptures are telling us, to remind us that there's a good answer, an important answer, a critical answer to the question, why do I need a Savior? Lots of people through the years have tried to answer that question. They've tried to discover what it is that Jesus really was all about. His disciples at the beginning of his story, at the end of the very Gospels, the disciples were still confused about the story and what it really meant, what Jesus really was all about, what he was really doing. In fact, it wasn't until a few days later, after his resurrection, that they began to understand his story and what it was that he was about. In fact, it wasn't until really weeks later that they really began to get the understanding when Jesus left them in that ascension story, when Jesus raised himself up right up out of the earth and disappeared from their sight. And it wasn't until after that that they really began to get a clue what Jesus' work really was and who he really was and what impact he was really trying to have upon them, upon Israel, and upon the world. Even then, there were times that they didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. Even after all of that that they had experienced, there were times that his disciples just kind of missed it. But it's important for us to hear the story, to recognize the story, to follow along with the disciples, in a sense, and follow along with his other apostles, especially St. Paul, as he kind of lays it out for us to help us to see why we really need a Savior. The disciples needed to hear it. Paul needed to hear it. I need to hear it. I need to hear it over and over and over again. Because I know that I need a Savior. I know more than ever that I need a Savior. I've figured this out a long time ago, and I've recognized that almost every day of my life, I need a Savior. It's one of the most basic questions that we have, the very foundation of our faith. And Paul spends a lot of time in the book of Romans and other places revealing to us why we need a Savior. Years ago, I was sitting in a pew much like this, and I was looking back over my life. I was only 27, but yet it sure seemed like my life had taken a path down an unknown way. And I was thinking back over my life and the decisions that I had made and the mess that I had made in so many different areas of my life. And I sat in the middle of the pew and just with my head down, and I was listening, sort of listening to what the pastor was saying, but what I was really doing was just wrestling in my head thinking, what have I done? How have I gotten to this place where I feel so low, where I feel like there's nothing left to live for, or there's really nowhere to go? I've made such a mess, there's no way for me to fix all the problems that are going on in my life. Where to go from here? I knelt down that morning at the kneeler in the front of church when the call was made for prayer, and I just wept at the kneeler thinking, my life is a mess. Lord, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go next. I don't know what to say next. I just know that my life is a mess, and I need help. I need help physically. I need help with the very, very specific things going on in my life right now. I need help. I need direction. I need guidance. I need more than just this touch of the divine that says that spiritually I'm going to be okay. I need more than just a promise for the future. I need physical help. I need help to get out of my mess. Help to get out of this circumstance that I've created for myself. And what I heard that morning was so simple, yet so powerful. And it was a simple word to me that said, Chris, you are my beloved, you're forgiven, and I'm here. Hear that? You are my beloved. He spoke my name. Chris, you are my beloved, you are forgiven, and I'm here. And it was at that moment where I realized that maybe there was an answer to my problem. Maybe there, or the many problems that I seemed to have. Maybe there was an answer for the future. Maybe there was an opportunity to work my way through this. Maybe all the things that began to be revealed to me that morning were possible to work through. The forgiveness that I needed and needed to give. The discipline that I needed for my own life to make things a little different and a little better. Maybe it was possible with God's help and God's direction. That day I realized my need for a Savior. And I'll guarantee this morning that you probably are in the same boat or have been in the same boat, or maybe need to be reminded that if you haven't found yourself in that place, maybe today's a good day to find it. That our God is one who's ready for us, who's willing to give himself to us, to, in fact, has done an awful lot of work to bring himself to that place where we can finally discover life in all of its beauty. Friends, we need a Savior. Because the reality is, as Paul describes it in many places, especially beginning in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, Paul simply describes it that not one of us is righteous before the eyes of God. Not one. Starting in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 18, and going on beyond that, it continues to remind us that there's so many problems that we find ourselves in, so many decisions that we find ourselves making that are not for our best interest. In fact, they're not for anybody's best interests. They're definitely not for ours, and they're definitely not for God's. In fact, the whole litany of things that Paul describes in the end of chapter 1, really, what he does in that chapter is simply say this: there's not one of you that hasn't slipped through the cracks, that made it all the way through without making some mistake. What are some of those things that Paul describes? Let me just share just a couple of this list with you. Starting in verse 28. Since they didn't think it was worthwhile to acknowledge God, God abandoned them to a defective mind to do inappropriate things, so they were filled with all injustice, wicked behaviors, greed, evil behaviors. They were full of jealousy, murder, fighting, deception, and malice. They're gossips. They slander people and they brag. They hate God. They're rude and proud. They invent ways to be evil and they're disobedient to their parents. They are without understanding. They're disloyal, without affection, and without mercy. Though they know God's decision that those who persist in such practices deserve death, they not only keep doing these things, but also approve others who practice them. Paul simply begins to share out a litany that says, we're guilty. We are not righteous people. Not one Jew, not one Gentile, not one faithful person is righteous. We are simply guilty. And why that's important for us is a reminder that God continues to save. God has been saving Israel throughout history. If we look through the Old Testament, we read through it, what we'll discover is time after time after time after time, God was rescuing Israel. In fact, this whole idea of salvation, this recognition that there's a rescue that's needed is not just Israel finding itself in a different place, but that God wants to put them in a better place. In fact, in Hebrew, salvation itself, the whole idea of salvation, the term of salvation is to make things wide and sufficient, to provide a better path, a different path, a more sufficient path than the one that we're on. A rescue from ourself, from our mess, from our place, from us. Yes, God has always been rescuing because always throughout time we have needed rescued. Even Adam and Eve in the garden were rescued by God. Though they disobeyed God directly, God still rescued them and provided a place for them and gave them an opportunity to make a life for themselves. Yes, God is in the act of salvation because we are a people who need help. All kinds of decisions that we make day after day after day, we need help. And we recognize that if we stay on the path that we're on, we're facing a life that may not be good for us. In fact, we're facing a life for eternity that may not be good for us. The scripture reveals heaven and hell on many occasions. And one of the things that John Wesley even preached about is there is a wrath to come, a real wrath to come, that there are ramifications of our actions, of trusting God or not trusting God, trusting ourselves or trusting something beyond ourselves, of whether we decide to stay unsaved or we decide that God does want to rescue us from ourselves and our circumstances. There is a judgment for us, the scripture reveals, a wrath to come. And the wrath may not be always what we describe it to be or as we've often thought about it traditionally, this hellfire and brimstone preaching. But the wrath sometimes is just the mess that we find ourselves in. How many times have you seen people who just refuse to get out of the mess that they're in and they end up dying and because of their own choices, their own decisions, their own addictions that lead them down a path that just is things that we can hardly even describe. There's a wrath in the midst of all of that. And sometimes our own decisions can lead us to those kinds of places. And yet God wants to rescue us from that. Whatever your path may be, God wants to rescue you out of it. Because there's a better path. There's always been a better path. God has always been in the process of creating a better path. A path for you. It may be a different path than the path that I'm on, but yet it's a path that leads us to Christ. It's a path that leads us to life. It's a path that leads us to a place better than where we're standing now. Better than the muck and the mire that we often find ourselves in. There's a better path, a better place, a different direction, a new life. That's what Christ has come in this world to do, to create for us a life, a real life, a hopeful life, a life that has grace in it. Hear that? A life simply with grace in it. Too many of us have experienced life without grace. What God is trying to do for us is to provide a life that's filled with grace, that's filled with God's acceptance, with God's call upon our lives to say, you are mine. I love you. You're forgiven. God's working to provide that kind of life for you. That's the very purpose that Jesus came for. We call it justification in the big United Methodist words or the big theological words. It's called justification. It's this work of Christ. It says that Christ came into this world just simply for one purpose, and that was to die our sin, to live our life for our justification. It's this idea that God can now accept us, that God wants to accept us. God provided the way to accept us through Christ's actions on the cross and through his resurrection and through his life in us even now, through his Spirit. This great work, this great cause upon God is to give us this life that we need so desperately because we need a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. You see, this work that Christ has done for us is his first and only purpose, to provide a way for us, to make us right with God through his work, through his life. And the scriptures reveal something so powerful in it is that this is a gift of God, not something that we can earn. We can't become righteous on our own. There's no way that can ever happen. There's no way that we can ever become this person that God finally will love on our own merits. It's impossible. We're failures at that. We have always been failures at that. We always will be. It's only through this work of Christ that allows us to be acceptable into his face, into his sight. And Christ did it for us. Christ did it for you with your name in mind, with your idea in mind, with your life in mind, with your future in mind. This Christ gave us a great gift. It's come for all people, for all time. This gift of grace, this justification has come to us. But as Paul reveals in Romans chapter 4, he tells the story of Abraham. Abraham, this simple man, but yet a faithful one, who didn't know God really until God revealed himself to him. And Abraham, who had very little background in faith, had very little understanding of what was going on, just trusted in God, trusted in God's promise, trusted in what God was going to do. And it says that because of his trust in God, his willingness to put his faithfulness into this great God, he was called righteous. And the same is called for us. This faith that God has called us to is a faith that brings us into this salvation work that Christ has been doing, because we need saved. He's called us to just trust in who he is, trust in his promise for the future, is trust that there's a different path for us. This call that Christ has made into our lives is simple. He's calling us to stop right where we are, to stop in the moment of our lives, to recognize that there's something that's not right with me, something that's not perfect in my life, and there's something that maybe, even though I've accepted his truth, I've accepted his promise, I've accepted all this that God has laid out for me, I believe in it with all of my heart, but yet there's times when we still walk on the paths that we set out instead of the path that God sets out. There are times we take him for granted and we don't trust him. But let me tell you this morning that regardless of the mess that you find yourself, there's a new path out of it. Regardless of the place that you find your mind, your heart, your spirit, God has set a path for us, a new path with Christ to help us through it. Regardless of the decisions that we've made or the things that we think there's no way we can ever overcome, there's a way through it. Regardless of the places that we've said, well, there's the mess that I'm down a path that I'm not even sure I can get off of. But there's a way off of it. It's with Christ. Because we should recognize that there is a need for a Savior. Whether we believe it, whether we say it, or whether deep in our heart we just simply know it, we have a Savior that's waiting for us. Nearly 24 years ago, when I gave my life to Christ, I couldn't imagine what was going to happen the next week, the next month, or the next year. Little did I have an understanding of that I'd be standing before you today. But it was a path that I continue to find myself on, a path that I continue to work back towards, because there's times that I step off of it. Think of myself, again, instead of thinking of God. It's a recognition that I still need a Savior every day. Because left to myself, I'm a mess. Maybe you are too. This morning, I just want you to spend a moment in silence to consider where you are along the path. In the scriptures, it reveals to us, and Paul describes it on many different places, but this life that Christ has called us to is a new life. It's a real life. It's a powerful life. It's a beautiful life. It's a joy-filled life, a happy-filled life, because God is present with us. We've been talking a lot about God's presence over the last several months, ever since Christmas. But we can't forget that He wants to be near us. He's called us by name to be near Him. And this morning, I just want to invite you to maybe ask Him to guide you to a new path, to tell Him you're going to trust Him a little more, to begin this new life of joy and grace. For God has come as near as God could come to us. He's calling us to come that next place, that next distance, to draw near to Him, to call out to say, we need you too. Pray with me. Gracious God, we know that we are sinful. Sinful in that we are just unable to come to you the way that we want to. We're unable to be close to you the way we want to be. We're unable to live the life that we really want because we keep making mistakes. As simple as and small as they may seem, they're still sin because they don't meet up with what you desire from us or for us. So gracious God, hear our cries today. Hear our prayers as we pray in these silent moments. As we continue in this time of prayer, God, may you work upon us and draw us close to you as we draw near to you. For we need you, a Savior, Jesus, our Christ and Lord.
We're going to continue in a time of prayer as we pray for the world and we pray for our country and we pray for our needs of our church. I would invite you in this time, we always invite you to come forward if you would like to kneel at the altar and pray there, or you can of course remain in your seats. So let us continue in this spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is that we can always come to you. What a privilege it is that when we become aware of how we've fallen short, that you accept us back. And our privilege, of course, is that we know it. And there are those that don't. Lord, we thank you that we are always welcome back. No matter how far we've run, we just have to turn around and you are there. And so we thank you. This morning we've considered how you were transfigured. And we invite you to transfigure us, to help us to become aware of those moments when we need you. Lord, we always need you, but help us to grow near. Help us to see your path, your grace, and your forgiveness. for we are thankful. We are forgiven people. Let us live in that. Lord, we pray for our country today, for those suffering from the storms and the blizzards and those without power and heat, for those who are trapped, for families who have lost loved ones. Lord, we pray for our country and we pray for those in need. Lord, we pray for the world. Lord, we have so much, and yet we know you are at work, not just in our country, but throughout the world. We're mindful today of the people of Guatemala. And we're thankful for how we can be in ministry to them as they are to us. They are also image bearers. Open our minds and hearts as we consider in the next year and even after that, how we can be sharing your love and your healing and your hope. Lord, we pray for our church and we pray for the scouts. Lord, we thank you for the leaders of the scouts and their work with all the youth. We thank you for the parents. And of course, each scout, the boys and girls, and we ask your continual guidance and growth upon them. May they become the kind of people you've designed them to be. Lord, we pray for our church, lifting up those needs on our prayer concern. Lord, we pray for those spoken needs and those unspoken needs. For we all need you. Lord, we pray for those in need of healing. May they receive it. We pray for those in need of an answer. May they be given it. We pray for those in need of hope. May it come to their life. Lord, we need you. We are powerless without you. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, how much the church could accomplish with the greater resources and how much shared ministry could blossom if our thanksgiving to God exceeded our fear, greed, and ambition. We've taken a small leap toward faithfulness in coming to the mountaintop. We will now be open to let God transform our giving. Well, we thank this morning, then we thank our ushers as they come forward and serve us. Let us sing together. God receives our offering.
Let us pray. Well, God, you have transformed yourself before our eyes, and you are working at transforming us. So, God, thank you for these gifts that we have placed in your hands this day. May you transform not only us through this process, but the church and the community. We know, God, that you went up that mountain, that you lived this life, you died this death for all of us. So help us to share that great story using these gifts to provide resources to ministry throughout this community and the world so that others might know that there is salvation in Jesus. For we all need it, and we give you thanks for it. In the name of Christ, amen. Let's sing together.
Story that I have loved.
It's not just Christ's story that we love to tell, but it's Christ and my story, Christ's and your story that we're really here to write this morning, to remind us that we need that Savior, that he wants to be transfigured before us so that we too can be transfigured, changed, changed life, changed path, changed futures. Friends, go this day knowing that you have been called of God. You are his beloved. He wants to love you, forgive you, and call you his own. Go this day with that knowledge. And if you've made a choice this morning, stepping onto that new path, talk to one of us. We'd love to share it with you and hear your story. Go this day with in God's hand always. Amen.